Every Thursday night, you ask the questions, DT gives you his answers. No holds barred.
It's Q&A with Don Tony. This is your chance to speak your mind and be heard about anything.
Q&A with Don Tony. And now, your host, Don Tony.
Mystery envelope. Mystery envelope. Yeah, we'll open that up in a few minutes. You know, I was just noticing, it didn't hit me until I actually saw somebody congratulating him. You know, we always shout out and occasionally talk to Rams fan. Rams fan, congratulations, because the Rams won the Super Bowl. You know, I didn't talk about it on the shows early this week. You know, my prediction was that the Rams were going to win. My score, I think, was a little high. I think I said like 34-24 or 37-24. But, yeah, the Rams ended up winning. So, good evening, everybody. Welcome, YouTube channel members who are live. Welcome, La Nostra Familia, who is checking this out on the replay. I am Don Tony, and this is the Q&A live stream. Basically, what we do on Thursday nights is I sit back and I interact 100% with our YouTube channel members who are live. And anything they want discussed on this show, we discuss it. And as you've noticed, the last month or 5 weeks of doing these YouTube channel member episodes, they come up with some pretty damn good topics. If you ever want to be a channel member, believe me, this is not a money ploy. Just go to my channel. You could go to youtube.com/DonTony/join. I think that link works. Like I said, it's not a money grab because you could become a channel member for $1.99 a month. And not only do you get an exclusive show that you could, you know, be interactive with 100% every week, but we do pay-per-view predictions contests. We do some little exclusive audio, some pre-releases. If you are a elite channel member, you get our Patreon show. And again, I still get a few people that complain like, why are you putting a Patreon show for channel members? I'm like, well, because Patreon gets the channel members show. You know, that Patreon, I love it and everybody there is great. But you could see how Patreon has changed. I mean, there's 50,000 Patreon pages. I don't know how much longer that Patreon channel goes, but one thing keeps going. But one thing is for certain, I am here. I am with all of you. We have some interesting stuff to get into. Now, I noticed right away few of you bringing up AEW's rating. Now, look, for AEW haters and people who are very pro-WWE, they loved this number that came in. For everybody who is pro-AEW, I mean radically pro-AEW, they'll tell you, oh, AEW was third in the night amongst the demos. Third. Only behind basketball, and I think South Park was number four. But realistic people like you and I, we stay in the middle. Now, for those that don't know, last week, the Forbidden Door tease, the Forbidden Door. Obviously, it was going to spark curiosity. A lot of people thought Keith Lee was going to debut. A lot of people thought Jeff Hardy. Some still holding out hope thought Wyndham. But we got Keith Lee, and it was great. I enjoyed last week's episode. Did 1,129,000 viewers. Excellent number. Excellent number. Curiosity factor. The challenge is, did you put on a good enough product for the casual fans, the curious fans of the surprise, to keep them watching this week? This week, AEW Dynamite's rating dropped from 1,129,000 viewers to 869,000. That is a 260,000 viewership drop. That is a 23% viewership drop. You advertise CM Punk. We got Bryan Danielson. We got Jon Moxley. We got Adam Cole. We got Sammy Guevara. We got MJF. We got Wardlow. We got Darby Allin. We got Thunder Rosa. We got Mercedes Martinez. And 260,000 fans said, nah. That hurts. That's the bottom line. 869 is not a bad number. It's not a bad number. But you could look at it one way, radical left, radical right. The fact is, 260,000 wrestling fans this week said, you know, AEW is just not appealing enough for me to tune in. And I made a remark yesterday, that I got so much feedback on the emails and the DMs. It was amazing. Some on the YouTube comments as well. In fact, by the way, you know, I have people that are now trying to help me shape the YouTube channel and try to bring it to the next level. And one thing you're going to see, well, actually you're going to see two changes effective immediately. The first one is that from now on, after every show, including this one, you can leave questions in the comment section based on the episode, and I will answer them. I won't wait for the next show. I always ask post comments, but somebody who is really looking out for me said, why don't you tell everybody to, they have a question, a follow-up question, something you talked about. Tell them to post questions and answer them. So that is change number one. Change number two, and this will start probably Saturday if we do the Don Tony show Saturday night. Still up in the air because we have Elimination Chamber earlier in the day. But from now on, when the shows open up, it's not going to open up with an intro. It's not going to open up with that Scarface video. It's going to open up with me with like an opening comment. Maybe the biggest story that we have to talk about on the episode, we open up with me talking, and then it'll segue into intros, and we'll go from there. So little subtle changes you may notice, but, you know, I got so much feedback about something I said yesterday, and I kind of said it in passing, but as you see as part of the title for tonight's episode, Tony Khan, and the funny thing is I wrote that before the rating came out. Tony Khan needs to forget about the forbidden door and worry about the revolving door. Because remember what I said yesterday? If you didn't tune into yesterday's show, you know, AEW with these spikes in these ratings is like a Cracker Jack box when I was a kid, or retro cereal boxes. And for those that don't know what I'm talking about, I'm sorry for repeating a little bit from yesterday, but for those that don't know what I said, you know, when I was a kid, I could tell you that I definitely was influenced of buying certain items because it came with a toy surprise inside. I mean, you would buy Cracker Jacks and you would open it up. You'd always be disappointed because it would be stupid tattoos or something like that. I mean, what did you actually think you were going to get in the Cracker Jack box? Like an amazing baseball card? No. I mean, you know, back in the 20s maybe. But even cereal, back in the 80s and the 90s, when I, in the 80s, when I was a kid, Ma, can I have Cookie Crisp? Can I have Grape Nuts? But you don't like Grape Nuts. Bo Jackson, baseball card. Yeah, that's how I talked when I was a preteen. But I definitely bought items because there was a toy surprise inside. How many of you out there have bought packs of cards just because you want to get to the surprise? Look, somebody at Upper Deck gifted me last week a case of AEW cards, a hobby box. Now, with the exception of just this MJF card, which I have not put on eBay yet. That box was a disaster. But when we opened up to the packs, we didn't give a shit about the regular cards. We were looking for the surprise. And Tony Khan, you know, he doesn't want to be known as Mr. Forbidden Door, because it reminds me of my podcasts from 15 years ago. 15 years ago, I used to make fun of every podcast out there, from In Your Head to Monday Night Mayhem and a whole bunch of others. I used to rip the crap out of all of them. And I remember Shane Douglas had said to me, you know, talk good about me, talk bad about me, just talk about me. And he said, worry about your own shit. You know, I mean, I'm not kidding. I mean, that's one of the pleasures about, you know, doing a little stuff in indie circuit and picking up people from airports and hanging out with them in hotel rooms. They love to talk. They love to have regular conversation. That man gave me simple advice that I still use to this day. And then someone else said to me, like, don't have your listeners tune in because these other people suck. Have them tune in because you're good. And ever since then, I stopped doing the funny little promos, making fun of all the other shows out there. And the thing is that, you know, I started to take pride that we were getting huge numbers in listeners without having guests. We didn't need Steve Austin on our podcast. We didn't need Eric Bischoff, Diamond Dallas Page on our podcast. We didn't need Rob Van Dam and anybody else on our podcast. Nothing against them. Everybody that tuned in, they knew who they were getting. Me, whoever else I was doing shows with back then. There was no Cracker Jack surprise. There was no weekly teaser, like, what prize are you going to get today? And Tony Khan, you don't want people to tune in just for the Cracker Jack surprise, just for that rush. Listen, man, there is, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic in any way. I'm being totally sincere. There is a chemical reaction. There is a chemical rush inside people when they open surprises, gifts, unwrap stuff. You get a Christmas gift, a birthday gift, you unwrap it. There's a chemical reaction. I don't know, I just had flashbacks of Madonna's Physical Attraction. Physical attraction, a chemical. I used to love that song back in the day, by the way. So anyway, there's a chemical reaction. That rush, that suspense factor. Drum roll, please. No, not one. Not that one. Oh, no. Do I have it here? No, I have it at the other house. Yesterday, we did the drum roll. Like, the suspense. Tony Khan does not want his viewers to expect a toy surprise every other week. And he's running into that trap. And in the meantime, he is not realizing that everybody in that company, if they were offered a better opportunity, betterment for their financial status, their family, their livelihood, if they want to put in the hours, they will pick up and leave. Not every single person will pick up and leave. Some people like to work part-time. You get out of what you put into it. Some wrestlers at this stage of the game do want to work a very light schedule. But there are others out there. You don't think that if WWE contacted Miro when his contract is up, hey, we'd love to have you back. Whatever AEW is offering you, whatever you get on your Twitch and everything else, we'll double it. You're trying to tell me that Miro's going to say, fuck you and your Rusev. Fuck you and your Rusev. Fuck you and your Rusev. Slowly I'm sounding like a Mexican instead of a Russian brute. A lot of people there will pick up and go. And another thing yesterday, that the fact that whatever Cody thinks he is going to get in WWE financially, the fact that there wasn't even, hey, Tony, just match it. Just come close. And Tony Khan didn't even go there. And I appreciate everybody who took notice that in the last 24 hours, you have that radical left, those shows that never wanted you to think that anybody would ever dare want to leave and go to the evil McMahon, the evil WWE, those terrible, blood-sucking freaks. Now, oh no, Cody was a problem. Cody just was high on power. Look at his intros. Look at it, this. And he needed booking power. And he needed this. Every time I get on the roll, I start sounding like I'm Latino. No, I see some of you talking about Dustin Rhodes. In WWE's eyes, Dustin Rhodes is not a needle mover anymore. I love Dustin Rhodes. I love Goldust. But I think Goldust is one of those that would be treated better in AEW than WWE. And look, Dustin also has the school. You know, people need to remember that. You know, they do have some outside ventures. So for Dustin, between the school and wrestling once in a blue moon, that's a case where that's probably enough for him. That's why you don't see Dustin, you know, going back. I don't see it. Of course, anything is possible. I'm talking about the needle movers. I'm talking down the line from the MJFs to the Guevaras to Jade Cargill with a little more seasoning. You know, who knows about Thunder Rosa? You think these people are going to keep, you know, this unbelievable gripe? You hurt my feelings. You think Wardlow, now, since he's proven that the guy, you know, can be, you know, the next big star? You mean to tell me WWE comes a-knocking when his contract is coming up and they offer him a really, really good pay? You mean to tell me he's going to turn and say, no, you hurt my feelings? Nope. Nope. So Tony Khan needs to worry about his office, his staff, his wrestlers. He needs to start realizing quickly, immediately, that anybody in that roster could pick up and go. It's only common sense. You and I have talked about it for years. When Brock Lesnar didn't wrestle that much on TV, and we used to say, wow, Brock Lesnar, he doesn't give a shit about WWE. He never shows up. That was the best one out of all on social media. Brock never shows up to work. How could anybody get into Brock? He never shows up. Wait a minute. WWE is the one that arranges him to come in. It's not like WWE is like, is Brock going to show up today? No, he's staying home. Fuck. No, that was the contract that WWE arranged with Brock Lesnar. So you got to remember with the stock market, WWE shares were $22 a share during the time that Brock Lesnar was every 5 weeks. I might be exaggerating a little bit, but you know the period I'm talking about. Now the stock is about $45 to $50 a share. At one point, 2 years ago, it was $100 a share. And that's when WWE went on this insane hiring spree. And then the stock got cut in half. And they're like, uh-oh. And that's why a lot of the releases started coming. That's the story. I mean, it's not anything controversial. It's not to give Triple H the big one. So Tony Khan needs to realize quickly, anybody there? Anybody, WWE comes down. He has no 90-day no-compete clause. Anybody could have their contract up on AEW and WWE contacts them and says, come down. These wrestlers, getting back to Brock Lesnar, when people complained about Brock Lesnar, if you worked for me And I said to you, just come in once every 5 weeks. Nah, you don't have to come in next week. Do you think Brock Lesnar is going to show up at Raw anyway? Hey, guys, I know you don't have me booked until April. But you know what? You know, you've treated me so good. This one's on me. This is a freebie. Put me on TV. Let me F5 somebody. Let me F5 JoJo. You know, and give me somebody to attack. And then I'll just go home. It's not the way it works. Any of you out there, if you worked for me and I said, you only have to show up once every 3 weeks, you mean to tell me you wouldn't do it? So you look at these wrestlers that eat, sleep, shit, pro wrestling, and they are making decent money between AEW and everything else that they do, and their contract comes up. Tony Khan is not going to be able to afford a lot of these wrestlers unless he substantially trims his roster. See, that's the thing people refuse to look at for the last 2 years. I know you're bored of it, but we've talked about it for over 2 years. Now, I'm sorry if my voice sounds a little scratchy. I think I strained my voice box this week. A lot of talking at the office. So, but you look at Tony's contracts. Adam Cole's not getting paid anywhere near what he was getting paid in WWE. Bryan Danielson is getting paid nicely, but it's nowhere near what he was getting in WWE. Keith Lee is getting paid nicely, nowhere near what WWE was paying him. A lot of these contracts are a fraction of what they were getting paid because they can make money outside. Do a Twitch, I could sit home. I could have Mia Yim cook for me. And I just sit there and smile and say greetings and salutations. My wife, Mia, is a beautiful cook, and I'm not making fun of them, but that's all they got to do. Mia, what are you making for us this week? We're making crunch wraps. $2,000 revenue, just like that. You mean to tell me you wouldn't do that? God bless every wrestler that could sit at home, play a video game, cook, clean, look pretty, go shopping, just sweep their backyard, and people will send money their way. That is awesome. I'm not knocking any of it. But when that contract comes up and WWE says, okay, give us a total of what you are making, and we'll increase it by 50%. Now what do you do? Tony, look at what they offered me. Just come close. Tony's contracts are based on a lot of other outside ventures. How's he going to come close? How is he going to come close? That is going to be a major, major, major problem in AEW. He's got to forget the Forbidden Door. Not that I don't want him to have that moniker. I don't give a shit. I don't do Forbidden Doors. The only Forbidden Door that I deal with is my fiance's ass. When we get down and dirty, the Forbidden Door is her bunghole. Not that I want to invade it, but it's her bunghole. Bunghole. That's the Forbidden Door. That's the only Forbidden Door that I care about. You know, for her, the Forbidden Door is, you know, the password for my bank account. So I don't care if Tony Khan has a Forbidden Door moniker. Let him tattoo it on his chest like Al Snow. Instead of help me on the mannequin head, he could put Forbidden Door on the top of his name. He could get a tramp stamp above his ass, Forbidden Door. He could get it below his mouth. I don't give a shit. Put the Forbidden Door on his wallet. I don't care. He's got to stop. He's got to have fans tune in because they like the stories. They like the product. They like the in-ring action. Not 250,000 plus. No surprises this week. No Cracker Jack. No, but we'd have a little bit. It's like a restaurant that every week, oh, come by, free samples. Ooh, egg rolls. Next week, cheese puffs. The week after, hot dogs. Ooh, look, steak, filet mignon bites. And every week, and then you have 1 week, no freebies. Wow, there's a lot of lot less people here today. That's the deal. Tony Khan, forget about the Forbidden Door for a little while. Worry about AEW turning into a revolving door. Because as we said last year numerous times, 2022 will be the year of the contract for AEW. And it seems to be happening. I'm not a genius. A lot of people tuning in, they're not geniuses as well, and with all due respect. But we pay attention and we read between the lines. And a lot of people don't have you do that. Clickbait. Clickbait, cake and ice cream. And that's fine to a certain extent. But when reality strikes and you don't see it coming and you're totally unprepared, the only way that they can deal with Cody leaving is he's selfish. Cody only cares about Cody. He never really cared about AEW. He lost all his power. A lot of people didn't like him. Everybody in the back hated Brandy. If you listen to Wade Keller, reject. Who asked about Carlos Cabrera? Soka, doka, 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 doka. I don't think anybody in Latino wrestling has ever said that phrase. We were just talking about AAA last week. Old school, 1993, watching Rey Mysterio and Super Porky and La Parca and Juventud Guerrera with the Corona logo in the ring. And you would just hear, doka, 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 bora. And then everybody with the air horns loved it. Freaking loved it. Carlos Cabrera, no longer with WWE. No, see, I sound Japanese. Forget it. Carlos Cabrera, I don't speak Espanol. He is gone. We don't know the reason why. My speculation, he's been there 30 years. 30 years ago, minimum salary, I think, was $335. I think it was either $260 or $335. That's what the minimum salary was at a store. I'm not saying that Carlos Cabrera made $335 for WWF, later WWE. But over 30 years, yeah, your pay slightly increases. So what do? Maybe you get, Ricardo Rodriguez. Ricardo, would you like to work for us, do Spanish announce team? We'll pay you $28,000. And you can tell everybody that you're a current WWE superstar. And then what happens? Elimination Chamber Saturday. Oh, buenos noches. WWE Elimination Chamber. Saudi Arabia. Loca, 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 loca. So I just think it's money. I think it's money. Carlos Cabrera I liked. I'm not kidding. Back in the day, there were some times that I would just tune into the SAP, listen to the Spanish announce team. No, that would be the SAT. By the way, the SATs were awesome. I still have that old intro for my hotline. This is Red of the SATs. Yeah, a lot of people don't realize Amazing Red was an original member of the SATs. Still remember it. This is Amazing Red of the SATs. You're listening to Blackheart Sports Entertainment Hotline. Oh, I heard about you guys. You all cursed motherfuckers. Oh, my God. I got to put that intro on next week. Oh, fond memories. Oh, my God. RVD used to listen to Hotline once in a while. Kid Cash. Balls Mahoney. Forget it, man. Balls Mahoney. I still have the unedited promo that he did for us the night that we went to a mosh pit in Suffolk County, Long Island. And if any of you out there know someone by the name of Frankie Stars, please, first of all, go out of your way for me. For me, I'm asking for a favor. Go out of your way and say, hey, Frankie, Don Tony, Anthony DeBlasi says hello, sends his regards. I know I've told this story before, but around 2003, I would say, we were doing the Blackheart Sports Entertainment Hotline. It was myself, Matt Zombie, Brian Damage, and Timmy Arson. You knew as the ECW Zombie. God rest his soul. Missed that man. Do you know, when I wore that Blackheart shirt, this is how weird shit happens. Do you know that when I wore that Blackheart shirt a couple of weeks ago or like last month, whatever it was, I just put it on. And few of you reached out to me that night, said, you do know today's the anniversary that Timmy died. I had no idea. It's weird. Out of all the shirts, for some reason that day, I said, let me put the Blackheart shirt on. And that was the anniversary that Timmy died. For real. So, back in like 2003, this is when I first started getting involved with indie wrestling after XPW. And Frankie Starrs was setting up some shows out in Long Island. And they were going to do something at a mosh pit. Now, think of me. Think of me. I'm into disco, freestyle, hip house, house music, techno, still am. Imagine me dressed as a Guido, and I'm going to Suffolk County, Long Island to watch people jump off a stage onto people and a mosh pit. I never ever experienced it in my life. And there are people alive that witnessed it. A lot of you pay attention to Brian Damage. He does that website when he talks about all the wrestle crap. He still does it to this day, Brian Damage. If any of you know him, he is the former hotline host with me. Brian Damage was there. Frankie Starrs was there. I was there. Matt Zombie was there. Balls Mahoney was there. Anyway, what they did was they had a live performance. And during this live performance, Frankie Starrs went on the stage and cut a heel wrestling promo. Out of nowhere comes Balls Mahoney with a chair and his infamous chair shots. He busts Frankie Starrs open big time. And then he throws Frankie Starrs into the mosh pit. And everybody is beating the shit out of Frankie Starrs. And I'm there in amazement because it's not even my type of music. And I'm looking at all of these guys and I'm like, holy fucking shit. Till we went down to the dungeon. We went into the dungeon. And I know I'm revealing a little bit too much here. But hey, and if you think I'm lying, seek out Brian Damage. Seek out Frankie Starrs. They'll tell you I'm not exaggerating one bit. We went down into the basement. And in the basement, underneath this club, this rock club, you had small cement rooms. Some of them with couches, some of them with chairs, tables. We went down there. You look in one side room, and some guy is getting blown by some girl. You go into another room, and you had a whole bunch of people doing cocaine on a table. You go into another room, and there's girls just laid out on the couch, just waiting to be whatever, handled accordingly. And we sit down, and, you know, somebody passes a little bit to Balls. Somebody passes it to someone else. I didn't do any. Frankie didn't do any. Matt Zombie didn't do any, and I know Brian Damage didn't do any, and neither did Timmy, because Timmy had to drive. Brian was never into that. Matt Zombie, I think if you gave him a little, he would have needed a shovel. Like, he's one of those, like, he can't just have a little. He's got to have it all or nothing. But we're down there, and we're watching everybody get drugged out of their mind. And me, I'm just taking it in. And, you know, at the same time, I thought it was awesome. It was a little awkward. And then I also realized that, okay, this 280-pound fat Italian 30-something-year-old that looks like a Guido, he ain't getting laid from any of these girls. And I'm kind of glad that I didn't. But Balls Mahoney got whacked out of his mind. Mostly, I think, drinking. So we went outside. And Mad Zombie's like, Balls, you know, cut a little promo for our, you know, our hotline. He's like, why didn't you fucking tell me before? I listen to you fucking guys all the time. Are you crazy? Of course. So I call, I have the little brick cell phone. I called my hotline because I don't have, when am I going to record the audio? There was no smartphones at that time. I called my hotline to leave myself a message. And I give the phone to Balls. And Balls is, I still have the original recording. I promise you next week I will share it with you. He's like, this is Balls Mahoney. And you're listening to the Blackheart Sports Entertainment Hotline. They give you the news. They don't beat around the bush. They don't bullshit you. They're awesome. They're like family. He went on for like 3 minutes and just couldn't shut up. And he's like, just tune in, listen to them. And you hear him grab the phone back. He's like, oh, is that good enough? Oh, I couldn't stop laughing. Oh, man, I couldn't stop laughing. I still have this. I had to edit it down. And we used to have it on the hotline. I have to catalog the audio in this computer a little bit better. But I'm looking to see if I have any file with the name Balls, and I don't. So, yeah, it's... What the hell is Spanglish? I'm afraid to open it up. I see the prank calls that I did back in the day. My ex-girlfriend, Captain Ivan. Yeah, the original Paul Orndorff interview. No, I don't have it here. I grab it next week. But beautiful memories, man. Miss that. Yeah, I miss TV Tracks. I hope he's okay. You know, I was the last person ever to talk to TV Tracks. And a lot of people to this day still ask me, what do I think happened to him? And to be honest with you, what happened, in my opinion, if you go back and you look at his channel, that guy posted clips of my shows, Jason Solomonster, and a whole bunch of other people out there. And not only did he put up clips, he also would make thumbnails and things like that. And you go back and you realize how many hours of footage every week that he would just sit there and listen. And pull and pull and pull. So this man had to have spent 30 hours minimum a week listening to shows, pulling clips, splicing, putting it online, making thumbnails, and posting it. He got paid. I never took a dime from him on TV Tracks. He asked me, hey, can I post your clips? And at that time, I said, sure. I remember my co-host saying to me, like, why are you letting them put all the clips? I said, so we could get some exposure. And we weren't making any money off of it. When I set up Patreon, he became a Patreon member as a little way to give him back. But I remember the crash on YouTube where they pulled all the advertising revenue from wrestling shows. And you watched indie promotions close down. You watched wrestling shows just immediately stop doing what they were doing. And you realize that a lot of people depended on YouTube money to exist. Nobody wanted to pull money out of their own pocket. Most of them probably didn't even have it to pull it out like that. And a lot of places shut down. The indie promotions was the worst. Because you realize that the indie promotions had no nest egg, that they relied strictly on YouTube revenue. And when that was pulled, they're done. If YouTube ever pulls their revenue again from places, you have no idea some of the biggest podcasts right now that'll be done. For real. So anyway, at that time, when they had the big crash, what was it, like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever it was, I noticed less clips being posted from TV Tracks. And then one day he sends me a DM. He says, hey, Ant, he says, I just wanted to thank you for letting me post all the clips over the years. I'm going to take a little bit of a break. And I responded back to him. I said, are you okay? Anything I could do? He's like, no. He's like, I just need to take a little bit of a break for a little while. Now, at that time, I wasn't doing YouTube. So I really didn't pay much attention to the revenue side of it. Then when I realized, you know, what he was making prior to this crash, it was a job. It was a small job for him. And they took all that money away, and that was it. He was done. Epic Sports, the same thing. Epic Sports tried to do it as well. Those were the only two channels that I ever gave permission. There were a few other places, but the problem is some other places they took advantage. Hey, can I put a little clip of that episode, you know, whatever episode? No, yeah, just that clip, right? And next thing you know, a month later, I look and there's like 10 episodes on their page. So 2 years ago, I went on YouTube and I started having a lot of old footage pulled. If you go around the net, there are very, very few places. TV Tracks and Epic Sports are still there because if I pull copyright, they'll get three strikes like this and they'll be shut down. So if Epic Sports ever returns or TV Tracks ever returns, I don't want to hurt them. So I leave the clips up there. But almost everywhere else, I pulled everything. I try not to pull it from some people. There's a few people I don't talk to anymore. There's a few people that stab me in the back. But I don't want to be the ultimate douchebag. And I know if I pull one or two clips of their of mine from their channel, they'll get hit with copyright strikes. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. But, yeah, Pot of Honor, I never, ever gave permission to post any of my stuff. Pot of Honor is definitely one of those channels where I pulled stuff. You know, look, if YouTube would have turned around and paid me ad revenue, even though it would have been less than $10, then I would have left all the clips up there. You know, a lot of people 2 years ago thought I was pulling everything to erase the history of a former co-host of mine. And, you know, it that was not true. But at the same time, though, it turned into that. Because, no, you know, it's like, yeah, I got to rebuild everything that I was doing. I got to start all over. And that's what's been happening for the last 2 years, recreating the brand, reestablishing myself, people understanding that what they thought of Yours Truly for 20 years, not seeing video and not seeing my face and, you know, also getting to see a lot of the stories that I told, providing proof now, you know, there's a lot of shady people out there. There's a lot of shady people. You think people forgot? People have promised stuff in the last 6 months and that have not delivered on their stuff because they just want the Twitter response. Oh, that would be awesome. That would be epic. That would be amazing. I can't fucking wait. Oh, that's going to be sweet. And then it never happens because they just want that rush of, oh, wow, people still care about me. So what else you, oh, Chris S., do I think AEW will eventually get an on-demand streaming service like the WWE Network? Yes, AEW will have a streaming service. It will not be anywhere remotely close of what the WWE Network was. But it doesn't need to because they don't have that type of catalog yet. You know, if you think about the number of pay-per-views, there's got to be, what, less than 20 pay-per-views, I would say? You know, I mean, I might be off a little bit, but their catalog is not gigantic. So I could see something smaller than what Impact Wrestling was offering. But yes, absolutely, AEW with a streaming service. And let me tell you something, and I'm just putting a little timestamp because I definitely, that's a great question. Curious, for those live, type a dollar amount in the chat right now. Nobody's wrong. Be honest. How much would you pay for a monthly AEW streaming service? If, now before you type your number, if it doesn't include the current pay-per-views, you have to type a certain number. See, the thing, let me rephrase this. Their current pay-per-views are like $60, $54, whatever it is. for every 10 people, for every person that doesn't pay that $54.95, you have to get 9 subscriptions. AEW does not have a base that large to compensate losing all that pay-per-view revenue. So I personally think if they have a streaming service, it is only going to feature the archive, not current pay-per-views. For example, you're not going to pay $9.99 and you also get the current pay-per-view. So how much would you pay if you got everything with the exception of the current live pay-per-view? Let's say you would get the previous pay-per-view a month after it aired. So you would get everything except for the upcoming live pay-per-views. Realistically, I would pay them, I would probably pay them $3.99 or $4.99 a month. And the reason why I say that is if you include the current pay-per-view, I'm not paying $9.99 a month where WWE has a pay-per-view every month. They have WrestleMania. They have, you know, multiple nights. So when you got decades and decades of catalog. With AEW, though, you have a very, very tiny catalog. And if you include the current pay-per-view, the most that I would pay is probably like $7.99 with the current pay-per-view. And I personally think because their catalog is so small, I don't think they would ever consider about including the current pay-per-view. So if you just wanted the previous Dynamite episodes, previous previous Dark Elevation, and I don't even know how you could do that with YouTube. I mean, yes, you know, they stream it to YouTube, but that doesn't mean that YouTube owns the footage. So if they have it where they could stream it on a network, I think that's, you know, fair, $3.99, $4.99 at the most. And then if you want the current pay-per-view, you got to pay, you know, through Fight or through another network. Maybe you get a little discount. Maybe. But, yeah, I definitely expect them to have a streaming service. Absolutely. I wouldn't be surprised if they have a streaming service by next year. Could they do it in 2022? Anything is possible. Is enough content where you know, look, you know there's going to be a current, you know, 200,000-300,000 that would buy it immediately. At least I would say 200,000 that would buy it. You know, you got to remember something. Their pay-per-view buys for the $55, whatever it is, you know, they only get 100,000, give or take a little bit. So when you realize how many people tune into the regular shows, especially Dynamite, you know, the pay-per-views, and yes, a lot of people check out bootlegs, but it is a tiny, tiny percentage. You know, for $4.99, I'm sure a lot of people would swing it, but still it would be a very small number. But yeah, I could see it. I'm looking at the chat, scrolling through questions. I don't want to see AEW creating non-wrestling programming. You know, they want to do the cooking stuff. They want to do these little YouTube things. Yeah. It's not heavy on the producing. A lot of these wrestlers have good enough equipment. You watch it on YouTube. You know, what do you think Brandi has in her kitchen? I mean, I know that's not going to air anymore. But when you see Brandi in the kitchen, what do you think she's got? She's got a couple of ring lights. You know, she's got the camera set up. And she keeps her kitchen clean. I mean, that's all it is. You look at a lot of YouTube channels out there, their setup is not insanely complicated. I mean, sure, there's a lot of people that, you know, I mean, I look at my channel. I mean, of course, my lighting is not all that spectacular. But I'm in a very tiny room. And it heats up really, really crazy in here. So sure, I could have the perfect lighting and then you'll see sweat balls coming down my head for all day long. Thank God I have some software that when I put the air condition on, you don't hear it much. So did Cody actually sign with WWE yet, or is it still speculation? Well, they're working on it. It's complicated, James. This is not a three-page AEW contract here. You know, they're working on a lot of legalities. But listen, man, Cody and Brandy are not going to pick up and leave AEW without something else lined in place. Now it's just dotting the I's and crossing the T's. And if there was no discussions going on with WWE, then all really would happen is the news reports would have been Cody and Brandy and Tony Khan have hit an impasse. And as of right now, Cody and Brandy are free agents. They're sitting at home. And hopefully negotiations will continue. Is that too much to ask? If they couldn't agree on a number, you mean to tell me, with all of the previous history, that it's one extreme or the other? Okay, we can't come to a number. All right, that's it. I'm gone. I'm going to issue. Look, as we told you yesterday, and people were reporting it today because obviously they didn't figure out the common sense. When Tony writes a respectful tweet and Cody and Brandy write a respectful tweet, obviously they both ended on amicable side. There's obviously disappointment and dissension on Tony Khan's part. I guarantee you he is personally insulted and his feelings are hurt that this was cut and dry, so much business. Believe me. And the thing is, you look at it, are you a little surprised that the contract was this short for an executive vice president? That's something that I was thinking about. I would have thought that maybe the contract would have been for 5 years, and then maybe after two, it could be reevaluated by Tony, or there's an automatic increase that kicks in at the third year, and Tony could buy it out if he wanted to. You realize the fact that the contract was this short, I have an odd feeling that maybe in the back of his mind, Tony Khan always thought, look, I don't know if Cody will be in here for the long haul. Why would you set up a brand new company where you know it takes years to establish yourself and you set up a contract with an executive vice president for this short of time? That, when you actually think about it, it's a little crazy. Because let's be honest, you, me, and everyone that wants to be honest out there, no one ever envisioned AEW to get this big, this fast. A lot of people never expected CM Punk to return, Bryan Danielson to switch. A lot of people thought it was going to be Bullet Club and a lot of Japanese wrestling and some indie wrestlers mixed in. You see all the bullshit talent that they signed and paid them five times what they were getting on the indie circuit. Oh, you know, he was getting $60. We'll give him $300. Well, Tony, there was a reason why that person only got $60, because he sucks. Because he can't draw. He's a nice guy. And everybody loves him. The heart emoji. Fans don't give a shit. Jim Cornette said Tony Khan originally approached him to be part of AEW before he contacted the Elite. I believe that. There's no question I believe that. So, Fly, I don't know about the options. I don't know about those options. You don't do options in the corporate world. It's done a lot differently. It's done very, very different. If anything, Tony Khan could buy out a contract early. But usually you don't put the power in the employee that if you're, hey, we didn't even establish our ground yet. And the employee is the one that says, you know what, I'm not going to renew my option. You know what, I will renew my option. Imagine you're just kicking off the ground and you're having money problems and AEW is not kicking off the way they thought. And then you have all these employees after 2 years. Yeah, we're all going to kick in our options. Doesn't work that way. Definitely doesn't work that way. Pro wrestling is not the NFL, Soulfly. I understand what you're saying. Why with the NFL? But, you know, the NFL players are not working in the office. They're not executives. They're not sales. They're not doing corporate meetings. They're on the field. And if somebody, you know, doesn't want to re-sign, then they put someone else on the field. All right, we're talking about the executives and the big names there. Roger, you don't have to super chat, my friend. Thank you. But you don't have to do that. Thursday's channel member night, man. You know I'll get you back in some way. I hook up Roger. He got invited to a gender reveal party this Saturday. Any gift ideas? And shout out to Marklin, Macklin. I think it's Macklin and Vanessa. They are the revealers. Okay. Here is your dilemma. You're going to a gender reveal party and you don't know if it's going to be a boy or a girl. Or as they say in 2022, him or her. And I'm not making fun of it. I know why people do that. So you can't personalize the gift because if it's pink and comes back blue, well, you know, you might have a little problem there. You don't want to go gender neutral either. Now, for anybody that's tuning in, if anybody's gender neutral or if you know anybody or care about anybody that's gender neutral, I'm not against gender neutral. But you can't immediately assume that every single person out there, you know, is in favor of that. You try to be neutral, period. My honest opinion is I would go on Amazon and type in, you know what we could do? You know, because I have a website I'm going to share with all of you in a few moments. Let's do this really quick. Only because, you know, tonight is like, you know, it's not like a, you know, big professional night. This is channel members. So we, all we're going to do really quick is I'm going to type in Amazon.com. Be nice if I spelled it correctly. And then we're just going to go gender reveal gifts. And let's see what comes up. Yeah, you see, you got daddy and mommy. You see my mouse on the screen. You got daddy and mommy. It looks like mugs with candles. You got mom and dad. See, that's what you got to do. You get a gift for the mom and the dad. Because look, what are you going to give the kid? A gift card for Babies R Us, if you really think about it? Yuck. Yeah, if you look at it, get a gift for the family. Get it for the couple. All right, let's get out of this. Let's get out of this. That's what I would do. Yeah, you could get diapers. Absolutely. They all pee the same. You can get diapers. You get baby formula. The problem is with baby formula, you got to pay attention to the expiration date because, you know, obviously the baby's not going to be drinking it in the immediate future. But I personally, if I'm being honest right now, if it was me and I was going to a gender reveal party, I would get the couple maybe like, this is outdated, but like a Precious Moments, just the husband and wife with the tummy, you know, with the tummy expecting. I think that would be nice. You get like a nice little, you know, figurine with both of them and, you know, with the wife pregnant. And that's something that they could keep forever and they could look back on it and they'll have memories when, you know, before she gave birth. That's what I would do. I like the mugs. I like the candles idea. I like something with, you know, just about parenthood That's what I would do. I mean, you know, this is my opinion. I don't like buying food or flower gifts because, or even scratch-off tickets. I get them for my mom because she loves the anticipation of the surprise of winning something. But you buy flowers, they die a week later. You buy food, it's eaten and shit out in 2 days. But if you buy, like, a gift, it'll last for years. So I would say fuck the formula, fuck the diapers. Anybody could buy that. Get them something that they could put on display that'll have a nice memory that'll last forever. And guess what? It'll probably cost less than some of those items. That's what I would do. That's what I would do. Oh, you're very welcome, Roger. That goes out to everyone also. I mean, I haven't been invited to a gender reveal party ever, but if I were, that's what I would do. I mean, we've given shower gifts to people, but you know, that's what I would do. I don't like food, and like I get food gifts for like some friends. I got Mish, you know, some New York pizza and some corned beef and stuff, because that's something that you don't get to enjoy all that often, you know, when you live in a different state. So it's, you know, something to try. But, I like giving something that'll last for a very long time. Congrats. I don't have a favorite New Japan match, Kevon. I mean, Okada versus Omega is the one that comes to mind almost immediately. I mean, you know, I liked a lot of Prince Devitt over there. See, for me, you got to remember me that I don't need to see a five-star match or what you would label a five-star match. If it tells a great story, that's good enough for me. I mean, just give me a good match with a great story behind it. That's fine. So, a lot of New Japan, I don't pay very close attention to storylines. So I don't like just straight up work ethic. You know, I like storyline driven leading to matches, because when you are into the storyline, you're into the emotion, and that emotion really kicks in. You know, you don't want to just see false finishes, two count, kick out, two and a half, kick out. This is awesome. You know, you want to be emotionally invested in the storyline. So that's why I will always appreciate a five-star match when people review it. And even if I don't think it's a five-star match, you know, when someone labels something five stars, one thing I think we could all agree upon, the match is excellent. How excellent is in the eye of the beholder. But you don't see normally somebody give a match five stars and then you watch it, you're like, oh, this sucks. What the hell am I looking at? Nah, you don't ever get that. KO versus Rollins for the WWE title? Not now. I want Bobby Lashley to retain at the Chamber. My prediction is Lesnar, because of Saudi Arabia and the WrestleMania storyline and the marquee build that WWE wants it to be even bigger. How do you make Lesnar versus Reigns bigger? Well, you make it title for title. And WWE is about the pump, the circumstance, the display. You know, this the billboard, the magnitude. They want it to be huge. So that's why I think it's going to be title for title, even though I don't want Bobby Lashley to lose. I'm rooting for Bobby Lashley. I certainly don't want Seth Rollins to win it right now. I'm freaking loving Seth Rollins. I freaking love Seth Rollins before they freaking started calling him freaking Rollins. Who would I have Lashley face? Man, that is so hard. I still would love to see Big E. I know it's almost impossible the way the storylines are right now, But, you know, a lot of people have been bringing up Edge. I mean, how that comes together, I don't know. I was thinking, what if it's Lashley versus MVP? I mean, I don't want to see that either. I don't know. I don't know right now. We got to get through Elimination Chamber. Once we get through the chamber, then I can give you a better answer for Bobby Lashley. If Lashley freaking retains, then that's much different. You see all the clickbaiters the last 24 hours? You had one major site and show said it's going to be Goldberg versus Austin. Goldberg versus Austin. And then they took that shit down almost immediately because they're like, yeah, that's too much clickbait. Then I watched today people trying to convince people that Goldberg could win the championship. Are you fucking kidding me? With Roman Reigns, the tribal chief, the way he's been built up for 2+ years, you think somebody in the last fucking match on his contract is going to beat Goldberg and piss off people that much right before WrestleMania? WWE wants fans to cheer Goldberg. They don't want fans to eviscerate Goldberg. It's all clickbait, my friends. But shame on everybody out there that continues to love the clickbait. Why do people keep paying attention to stuff that people are lying to you? You know, I told you earlier, somebody is really, really, somebody that has a YouTube channel with almost 1 million subscribers, and his average shows get about 400,000 or 500,000 views. And he's not wrestling, but he's trying to help me. And he said to me, he said, DT, stop thinking about your competitors and think about your subscribers, your viewers. Give your viewers what they deserve. Don't forget about everyone else. There's a lot of people out there that all they care about is the number of views and how many subscribers they could get. And that's why they have to clickbait. That's why they got to tease things that they know is not happening, because they just want to trick someone into tuning in. And then for some weird reason, people keep tuning in, keep getting lied to, keep getting bullshit. How would you feel if I just lied to you all night long? How would you feel if I put on the thumbnail something that I know is not going to happen, but I put it on there anyway because it catches your eye that, oh, I got to see what this guy has to say. How do you feel after I lied to you? You know, that's why when it's, you know, when the shows say without the hate and the clickbait, I really believe that. That was my idea of having that put in there. I can't sit here and lie to you guys. You know, we might have ideas and opinions that may end up not happening, but all this spin about WWE's planning all these swerves and this and that at Elimination Chamber, yet the only thing that they can say to you is WWE's considering putting the title on Goldberg. The fuck told you that? The same people that claim to talk to Vince? None. Seriously. By the way, somebody sent me this picture earlier. This is Liv Morgan, Bianca Belair. Duh, right? I know you're saying like, yeah, no shit, DT. This is Liv Morgan, Bianca Belair, and Sonya Deville in Saudi Arabia. And I had to zoom in on the picture so it's full on the screen. But if you look in the top left-hand corner, I think that is Rhea Ripley on the telephone. But you see the setup? Beautiful flowers. They look beautiful. If you want to see what shoes they're wearing. I know some people are into shoes. Not a foot fetish like Snitsky, but they look happy. And, hey, if Maryse ends up being in the quarter of Miz, that is 13 women. That's freaking huge. It is history. And still, it blows my mind that so many people are just ignoring it, because they just hate WWE that much. There's no clique or group out there that would entice me that much to not acknowledge good and history when deemed deserving. You know, it's just, there's a lot of people out there just for status. I got to shit on this. I can't acknowledge this. I got to crap on AEW's rating. I got to crap on this. I got to ignore anything good here because it'll hurt my status. Status of what? That you got 5,000 followers on Twitter? That you got 200 likes on Twitter? That's why I stopped tweeting. That's why I stopped with the social media. I mean, I will respond to people where I need to. And I will like some of my friends' posts to show support for them. But for the most part, do you know, obviously we're coming up on episode 5,000 of the shows that I'm doing. Do you know today would be 4,990? I am 10 shows away from hitting number 5,000. And to be honest with you, I'm not posting it on the website. I'm not posting it on social media. When 5,000 happens, cool. You know what I mean? Like, all right, cool, great. I might have a shirt made up. Somebody's offering to make a shirt made up for 5,000 episodes, including the hotline, obviously. But it just, it's like, you know, it's, there's more people that seem to like get angry at milestones like that because their favorite doesn't have that milestone. It's kind of like sad. It really is. But as long as you keep tuning in, that's all that matters. Zombies, no. JD from New York is actually very in the camp of mine. And I get along with him. And as far as his content goes, you know, he'll tease scenarios, but you see what JD does? I can't do this, but this is what he does. And I'll tell you why I have no problems with it. JD will acknowledge rumors that go around by a lot of these shows. JD is not a reporter. He will tell you a million times to your face, he is not a reporter. He does what I do. We opine. We're not reporters. See, that's the difference. A lot of places report this as news. They report it as fact. They report. No. What he does is he addresses the rumors that the news sites are floating around. Goldberg winning the title, Goldberg taking on Austin. You know, some of the nonsense that you just lit, you like, are you kidding me? Look at Major League Baseball. Any of you out there that are baseball fans, I don't know the name of the Twitter account. Maybe some of you do know. If you do know, I give you mad props. But there's some guy that has a blue check mark that yesterday, and if anybody follows baseball, you'll know the tweet I'm talking about. He wrote yesterday that Major League Baseball and the players agreed on a new playoff system that has 7 teams from each league, and the team with the best record gets a bye and then chooses who they want to face in the play. Like this, all this detailed, and the guy got like 3,000 likes. And then when you click on it, what do you find? Bullshit, lie, bullshit, not true. Major League Baseball even responded to the guy, not true. And the guy is an established blue check mark from some media outlet, and he lied. Now everybody's doing podcasts about what this guy reported, even though they know it's a lie. But they're not the ones reporting. This is what happens. I choose to ignore the bullshit. That's why if you notice, 99.9% of news reports in wrestling that turn out to be a lie, never get on this show. Especially the NXT stuff, especially ruining Triple H's legacy, especially, you know, some of the other things. That is agenda-based. That is people who do not like WWE, do not like the direction, insist that it should be another direction, And they feel that it's going in a different direction because they just want to erase Triple H, not acknowledging that WWE took their eye off the ball. WWE should have had a developmental territory and moved away from it. Instead, Undisputed Era, a lot of indie guys that are ready for the roster. Why are we paying this kind of money for NXT? These are supposed to develop the stars of tomorrow. AEW goes to Wednesday night, and then it's NXT versus AEW, and then it's head-to-head, and then WWE fell into the trap. They didn't want to have a full-blown developmental. That's WWE's fault. Everything goes through Vince's table. So if you want to blame Triple H for having NXT take their eye off the ball, that's not true, because Vince approved and signed off on every week that NXT went head-to-head with AEW, and NXT didn't bother trying to develop the young stars of tomorrow and instead took indie guys and tried to have indie guys compete with AEW. Don't you find it interesting that you look at the wrestlers that are on AEW right now, and a lot of them are former WWE guys, and their ratings are nowhere near Raw or SmackDown? Doesn't it almost seem like WWE is proving that some of the people that they let go were not needle movers in ratings? That you have person after person after person going to AEW, and yet the only time you can really consistently pop a million is if somebody comes from rehab, somebody is teased as a forbidden door, some major swerve, some major tease. You can't consistently do that. And people are like, well, it finished number three yesterday. No, 260,000 wrestling fans decided they didn't want to watch AEW on Wednesday night. Why is that? That is the question. Oh, I love the Undisputed Era. Listen, man, I bought so much merch and gave away a lot of stuff from that era. I love the Undisputed Era. I don't work for WWE. I don't live or die based on them developing the Stars of Tomorrow. They can buy Stars of Tomorrow. The problem is, you look at the Nightmare Factory, and I'm sorry, you know, Aaron Solo, Hook, okay, a little bit of Hook. You look at the Nightmare Factory, Robin Renegade, it's okay, but do you really see people coming out in a Nightmare Factory like, oh my God, that's the next Bron Breakker. That's the Bron Breakker of AEW. You don't see any of it. So you think WWE is going to sit back and say, oh, we'll let the Nightmare Factory develop everybody, and then when they're ready for primetime, we'll sign them to a nice contract. You don't see those names. My favorite and least favorite storyline in WWE right now or in history? History would be kind of tough because you're asking me and spurring a moment to go back 40 years of wrestling. But I will say right now, my least favorite storyline is Madcap Moss and Corbin, you know, with Drew McIntyre. I have no interest in that whatsoever. You know, look, Drew had to take a step back, allow others for this WrestleMania to get the high profile, and that's fine. But that is just, not into it at all. Favorite right now? Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. I mean, it's just everything about it. I mean, it reminds me so much of right before he went to play for the Vikings. But this is a guy now that he's having fun and he's making serious cash and he's clicking on all cylinders. And the guy is charismatic and he doesn't need Paul Heyman right now. And I love the storyline. I love the storyline. Somebody mentioned it. Yes. I forgot to open this. Now, we can't turn it around because we don't only give away my home address, but here's some news. WWE announced that they have made an agreement. Where is it? They now have a new autograph company, their official autograph partner. And the name of the company is Fiderman Sports Group. They are now going to be the official autograph partner with WWE. And they're going to do autograph signings, and they bring up names like The Undertaker, Roman Reigns, Becky Lynch. These are the creme de la creme. Now, the good thing about this agreement is their prices are actually pretty reasonable. Before I show you this, because I don't even know what's in here, but I actually have gotten autographs from Fiderman in the past, and they are very, very good. They have done some autograph signings in the past, but now they are working with WWE. WWE is using them exclusively. I'm going to put on the screen right now, and for those with audio only that are not a channel member that can't see this, no worries, because I'll read it to you. But this is their website, all right, the official autograph partner of WWE. They did a lot of stuff with Mike Tyson. So a lot of, you can see a lot of athletes, Pete Rose, Dennis Rodman. Is that, that's not Karl Malone. That is, oh my God, I'm drawing a blank. I can't remember right now. I'll remember later. But anyway, I want to pull this up because let's go to the online store. Oh, that began with a D. What was that basketball player's name on the left? D. Oh, crap. I'll remember later. Anyway, maybe if I go to basketball, maybe I'll sign it. Oh, where is it? His name begins with a D. It's not Dennis Rodman. I can't remember right now. All right, maybe when we get off the screen. But anyway, if you look at the Mike Tyson collection, for example, all right, you click on this, and the prices will scare the shit out of you right away. If you look at the top, original handprint boxing trunk signed by Tyson, $2,000. You look at an autographed shadow box from Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, $275. I actually think that's pretty reasonable. All right, now when you actually go down on the list, this is a replica pair of boxing trunks, but they're still autographed by Tyson, only $275. And you go down a little bit further, I mean, the prices are not all that bad. You know, nice hologram, $129, autographed by Tyson. Now we go to wrestling. And this is what they have sold in the past from pro wrestling. We'll just go to 8x10s. And I want to show you this compared to the Upper Deck that charges $299 for AEW stars like Ruby Soho. Here we got Bret Hart autograph photos, $30. Now, we're only going to pull out some names that have like some decent value to themselves. Bischoff autograph photo, $20. Let's go down the list a little bit further. Nothing against Honky Tonk Man or Greg Valentine, but their value is not all that high. Let's go a little bit further. Ted DiBiase, $20. Nasty Boys, there's no price over here. Let's see if there's a price. $20. So it's fairly reasonable. Now you go back over here, and we got wrestling belts. Let's see what they have for wrestling belts. Do they even have anything? Doesn't even seem like they have anything. All right, we'll go to larger photos, 11 by 14. Okay, look, Bray Wyatt, 11 by 14, $99. But that's actually not all that bad. It's JSA authenticated. That's pretty cool. For 11 by 14, and it's got the WWE hologram. Charlotte Flair, they had $100, but again, there's 11 by 14. So these are very reasonable. Randy Orton, JSA authenticated, $99, 11 by 14. Roman Reigns, $99, worth it. Sasha Banks, $99, worth it. You have a Mick Foley Undertaker. But he didn't sign it, Mark Calloway, but they have Mark Calloway's name. That, you know why? Because WWE probably didn't allow the name Undertaker in before they inked the agreement. But if he, you look at his signature, he signed it Undertaker. He did not sign it Mark Calloway. $325, but that is an awesome looking print. So you look at their prices, they're fairly reasonable. They're fairly reasonable. So anyway, let's see what's in here. Let's see what's in here. Because I have someone who works with WWE that gets me photos. And, you know, once in a while, I'll have to slap him a couple of bucks. I'm not going to lie. I may have, you know, something from yesteryear that he might be interested in. Some of the retro, you know, the food stuff that I had, I sent him a couple of things. He asked me for the Goldberg and the Undertaker bot bags. So I sent that to him as a collectible. So once in a while, I just get an envelope in the mail. And I have a stack of photos like this from Vince McMahon to Charlotte, Sasha, everybody else. So once in a while, I get an envelope. And I have no idea what's going to be in here. Sometimes he sends me gags, but I'm opening it up. It's taped closed, so we don't want to damage the photos. But and he knows that I don't resell these. You know, I do giveaways. So the idea is to, you know, give these away in the future. Yeah, I don't remember the name of that basketball player, but it definitely wasn't Dwight Howard. So, all right, let's see. Okay, this is strange. This is strange. I'm just going to show you. He sent me an autographed photo of President Trump. He sent me another autographed photo of President Trump. He sent me another autographed photo of President Trump. He sent me another autographed photo. These got to be worth something, but I ain't sure I ain't hell giving these away. Oh, okay. Liv Morgan. Nice. Liv Morgan. That's actually, that's a really nice autograph of her. How many? I don't want to put fingerprints on it. There's four Liv Morgan photos. Oh, and look at this. Look at this. So this guy sent me four photos of President Trump, four photos of Liv Morgan, and four photos of President Biden. Should we do it as a gag next week? Should we just give away like one of each to somebody? Somebody wins a photo of Trump and Biden. I know on eBay, these got to be like $200, $300 a piece. They are legit. They are real. They're definitely real. But I like the Liv Morgan ones. You know, I know you really can't see it all that much, but I do know that he is getting me. And some of you may have seen a teaser because I almost did a contest on Monday, but I didn't get them yet. And I can't look, you know, I can't always guarantee that I'm going to get what he sends me. But he said to me, he says, DT, he's getting me John Cena. Was it Peacemaker? Is that the gimmick that he's doing? It's actually him in that gimmick, and he autographed him. So I'm supposed to get John Cena. Is it Peacemaker? I haven't watched the show yet, by the way, for people asking. But somebody in the chat room, what's the name of the character that John Cena is doing now? Why does Peacemaker just not sound right? It doesn't sound right. See, this was kind of suspenseful. You know, package is not that thick. Peacemaker? Okay, so it is Peacemaker. He's sending me autographed photos of Peacemaker. He sent me a huge lot of Sasha Banks, Charlotte Flair, a couple of Vince McMahons that I'm sending out to JSA to get authenticated. Not because I want to make money on them, but because whoever I give it to, it'll have that much more value to them. Send me something else. I can't remember. It's in my office. I haven't really looked at them yet. But, so Peacemaker. I want to see how those look. That will be pretty cool. We give away a couple of Peacemaker autographed photos. I don't know if anybody has them. But the Sasha Banks ones are beautiful. Charlotte Flair's as well. When we did that contest on New Year's Eve, the person who won first, out of all the women that were available, he chose Charlotte Flair. And I was like, good choice. Because a lot of people do appreciate Charlotte Flair. You know, it took a little while to give away all those photos, but a lot of people just DM me late, like, hey, can I still get it? You know, but we'll do some giveaway soon. I want to get those Peacemaker ones. I got to see how those look. But he sent me Biden. He knows I'm not into politics anymore because he offered me Hillary photos. I'm like, what am I going to do with Hillary photos? He's like, you know anybody that wants it? I mean, I could put them on eBay, but I don't want to start selling shit on eBay. You know, I don't want to be bothered with that. But all right, so we're at 90 minutes, everyone. I remember the name of the basketball player. All right, I remember. I'm going to show it on the screen for anybody that's going to look at the video later. All right, okay, I figured it out. So I didn't even need anybody to tell me. This guy is Clyde Drexler. Clyde the Glide. Yes, Clyde Drexler. I remember him, man. He was an awesome basketball player. He was awesome, man. Clyde the Glide. Clyde Drexler. So, Harris, you know, look, these photos are money. They have some value to them. Like I said, you know, like he says to me, he's like, you want a couple of photos to give away? Because, again, he knows I'm not selling them, you know. I mean, sure, I'm not going to have these WWE COAs all the time and this and that, but the guy doesn't sell fake shit, and he does autograph signings with WWE stars. But he'll say to me, he's like, you want to give a few away? I'm like, yeah, send them along. You know, it's just like I said, the only reason why I pulled back on giveaways a little bit is because you got people that are only for the giveaways. You know, like I put up tonight the contest for our channel members for the predictions for Elimination Chamber. If you haven't taken part yet, you only have until 10 p.m. Friday night to take part. Because after 10 p.m., I'm putting the contest online, going to bed. Because Saturday morning, we're going to have Elimination Chamber, and I'm not going to spend the morning doing entries. So you have until Friday. Same thing with Patreon. And look, you know, I want to make this clear. Predictions contests are not part of being on Patreon or not being on YouTube. I do them, you know, and I will continue doing them. But when you start getting people like, hey, man, when are you doing the giveaway? You know, that's when I say, like, you know, I'm not going to do a giveaway this month, you know, because it's like, you know, you give, you give, you give, you give. And, you know, it's still like people still like, hey, man, where am I getting my giveaway? What's a virtual autograph signing like? Well, I could have gone to one with Mish and a few others 2 years ago. I didn't go. But I have had friends do some of them. One was done in Queens a couple of weeks ago that I could have gone to that one, hang out with some friends, but I couldn't. The virtual autograph signings, they're a lot of fun, but they're risky, and I'll tell you why. Basically, you buy your ticket in advance, and then what happens is the wrestler, whoever is going to do the signing, will appear on video. And that wrestler may tell stories, you know, may just talk about things. And while that person is live, everything that was pre-purchased, you probably could still buy something while the live autograph signing is going on. But basically, you go into that signing, you already have a bunch of things already purchased in advance. Then what happens is, let's say, we'll use Killer Cross and Scarlett because they did one recently. And let's say right before the virtual signing, they had 50 orders for signed photos. And they select what photo they want, what they want on it. And what will happen is when your order is ready to be filled, it'll go on this in front of him and he'll say, oh, shout out to Zombries, who's tuning in right now. Hey, Zombries, thank you very much for the support. You know, you wanted to sign to Zombries and write it right on the video and may talk about something, a little story, something involved, and you'll actually see your item signed live virtually. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. What the risk is for a lot of older stars is not much interest. And I don't want to name names, but I know a wrestler who was around WWE on TV in the, I would say, early to mid-2000s that was pretty entertaining. He did a virtual autograph signing in the last couple of months. I think he had three or four things signed. And he sat there and sat there. And nobody was placing orders. And I really felt bad for the guy. I mean, you probably could figure it out just by going online and looking who's done a virtual signing since October. But, man, if you don't have a pre-purchase, you know, nice amount pre-purchased, you run that risk and you go on video and you only have three pre-orders and you sign them, and you're just sitting there and nothing is coming in. I mean, that is a horrible, awkward feeling. See, at least at a wrestling convention, you know, and there's so many people there that there's so much commotion going on that even if you don't have much interest, you could mingle, walk around, get something to eat, get something to drink, go, you know, do something for a little while. But when the focus is on you for that half an hour, an hour, and you're just sitting there and ain't nothing going on, man, that is a awful, lonely feeling. And it's sad. It is definitely sad. It is sad. All right, everybody, we're going to wrap this up. For my friends and family that have access to the audio-only version of this, you got a treat. I edited out about 30 minutes of, I don't want to necessarily call it an epic fail, but we attempted to go and pull one of the original autograph signings that I did with Brock Lesnar, Randy Orton, Batista, and some others. And what I used to do back in the day is, since a lot of you online didn't live in New York but wanted an autograph from somebody, you know, that we were doing, that you PayPal'd me money, and I, at the autograph signing, would spend time with the wrestler, and the wrestler would sign a whole bunch of extra photos. He would do it personalized and everything else. And we went and did a Google search, couldn't find it. We tried to go to Wayback Machine, couldn't find it. And the sad thing about it is, I remember about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we found it, and I showed the photo and everything like that, but for some reason today, I couldn't find it. Not on demand, because this goes back about 20 years. So, you know, it's not as easy to pull that footage. But so for everyone that has access to the audio only, I didn't make you go through the pain of us. But it was cool because we actually clicked on some articles. The time that Goldust tried to sell a pair of tights for $50,000. When Brian Kendrick got fired from WWE almost 20 years ago. Some unfortunate passings in wrestling. When Brock Lesnar got arrested in 2001, I think it was. I mean, it was some wild stuff that we were looking at. And, yeah, so that's pretty much it. And you know what? On a positive note, we mentioned it yesterday. Shout out to Nero Faye. He just came in here live, and he is cancer-free, which is awesome. So I told you, and I didn't need to tell you. You knew it. You know, you just stick with it. You got over COVID, kicked the shit out of COVID, kicked the shit out of cancer. Now you just got to rest and little by little get your energy back. So that's awesome, man. We leave on an excellent note. I want to thank you all for spending your Thursday night with yours truly. If you're checking this show out after hours, I thank you as always for the support as well. No need to hit the like button, friends, because the fact that you're a channel member, you already like the shows. So for everyone else, I thank you for your support. If you know anyone out there that's not aware of the shows, let them know. Oh, before we go, I probably shouldn't be talking about this yet, but you all know that I was signed by Blue Wire several months ago, and I want to let you know that I got an email from them today that they are very happy with, you know, how the shows are going. I mean, you know, still legit 80 to 90% of everybody that tunes into my shows access the audio only. You know, a lot of people just look at the YouTube numbers and they think that's it. No, the audio side is about nine times as much. But they were so happy with it that I don't know if you know what a watch party is. There's people who do like NBA watch parties, baseball watch parties. Well, believe it or not, there is a company, a sports company, that hosts, that actually conducts watch parties, and they are related to the actual organizations. And I was asked if I would be interested in hosting up to four watch parties per month. And I can invite any of you that I want. It would not be public. It would be by invitation only. And the good thing about it is, I asked them, are we going to be watching football? Are we going to be watching baseball? They said, no, we actually would like for you to watch wrestling. So we are going to do watch-alongs. The only requirement is that if you want to be part of it, you have to be on video too. So, but believe me when I tell you, the heads are like the size of a quarter. So 95% of the screen is the actual wrestling event. We're just like little quarter size logos. You just see the head. But it's going to be interesting because obviously there's got to be some arrangement with WWE or AEW, I would think, because this is not a bootleg thing. We will be allowed to stream and do a watch party. So that is going to be coming in the next, it's not right away. We don't expect it until the spring, maybe summer. But yeah, I was approached to host watch parties. That is going to be cool. The only question is, when do they happen? I hope it's for pay-per-views. I hope it's for pay-per-views because I think it would be pretty cool if we could actually host a watch party live during the pay-per-view. Because remember, this is what people don't realize. If it's a watch party, you don't have to buy the pay-per-view. The pay-per-view will be shown on the screen and all we do is watch it and we react and we act and we have fun. So you save a couple of bucks in the process. More details when it's available. So things are going good in the Donzilla Army, our extended family, and we've only just begun, everybody. Having a ball. I hope you are as well. Have a great weekend. Enjoy Elimination Chamber. If you get this show prior to Saturday, come join me Saturday afternoon after Elimination Chamber is over. I expect the event to end sometime between 3:30 and 4 p.m. Eastern. So that's right around the time I will be going live. Then we'll see what the news is like for up to Saturday. If there's enough news to cover, then I'll come back here Saturday night for the Don Tony Show. If there's not a whole lot to cover, then we'll hold off until Sunday, and then we'll just talk about it on Sunday show. So at minimum, you get the Elimination Chamber recap Saturday afternoon and the sit-down Sunday night. And maybe we'll also have the Don Tony show Saturday night. We'll see. We'll see. So much love, everybody. Be well. And I'll see you all again soon. Good night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.